We read the Word of God in Luke chapter 2, verse 19. But Mary kept all these things, and pondered them in her heart. Let's join the Virgin Mary today, and ponder in our hearts the marvel and the mystery of Christ's birth. We could ponder, that is, think deep and hard on the birth of any child, for it is a great mystery and marvel. Ecclesiastes 11, verse 5, Thou knowest not how the bones do grow in the womb of her that is with child, even so thou knowest not the work of God who maketh all. The delicate and awesome work of God in secret, in the womb of her that is expecting a child, and now special photography is able to show us that amazing development, and then to think that at the moment of conception a soul is imparted by God, a never-ending life, either to the justice of God in hell or to the glory of God in heaven. To ponder such things, and to respond with the psalmist in Psalm 139, verse 14, Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. But Mary's child is as no other child. The child that Mary held in her arms is the child that is incomprehensible. He is the marvel and the mystery of eternal God in the flesh. 1 Timothy 3, verse 16, And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. The familiar hymn, Veiled in flesh, the Godhead see, Hail the incarnate Deity, God of God, now in flesh of a newborn in Mary's arm. And why? And now we get to the heart of the mystery. Because God loved us. John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Let's ponder for a while. Let's marvel over the mystery of God's love for us in the gift of his Son in our flesh. But we might say, we cannot unlock all that was going on in the Virgin Mary's heart that night in which she held her son within the cattle shed. She was the woman whom Gabriel had said was highly favored of the Lord, and we cannot possibly, you say, understand everything that was going on in her mind and heart and soul. True. But remember, Mary was a believer. Some may falter that throughout the Lord's life she showed an inadequate conception of her son's work and kingdom. Well, be that as it may, nevertheless, from the very beginning, when Mary was told by Gabriel the angel that she would be the mother of the Lord, even unto the end, when Jesus Christ ascended up into heaven, Mary stands on the pages of Scripture as a believer. Mary believed that night that her little boy that she had just given birth to was the long-hoped-for Messiah. We might say, yes, Mary understood that, and we understand that now, and it's true that we share Mary's faith, but we can't actually relive everything she was experiencing. Our pondering this marvel, nevertheless, you say, is at a great distance from the Virgin Mary. But then, you see, we miss the point. For our text tells us that the things that cause Mary to marvel are the things that are available to us. Mary, we read in Luke 2, verse 19, but Mary kept or treasured all these things. All these things could better be translated all these words. In fact, the Holy Spirit, beginning in verse 15 of Luke chapter 2, has been emphasizing that it was all on the words. It was the words concerning this child that was creating all the stir. The shepherds had said in verse 15, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing, no, this word which has come to pass. And then again in verse 18, And they that heard it wondered at those words which were told them. It was the word of God concerning the child that Mary pondered in her heart. And so we may ponder with her the same marvel and mystery. Ponder this. The baby in the manger may be nursing at the breast of the Virgin Mary, as she is pondering, is eternal Son of God, who spoke worlds into existence, who according to Hebrews chapter 1 upholds all things by the word of his power, who is in the bosom of the Father, John chapter 1:18, who is the Son of the Blessed, before whom angels veil their faces. Now this one, eternal Son of God, is united with flesh and blood, and is an infant, a little baby. The infinite, the glorious, the eternal God, who made all, has now taken on the finite. The eternal is in time. But Mary kept, treasured all these things in her heart. The word but there is in contrast to the many in Bethlehem that night to whom the shepherds had made known the word that was told them by the angels concerning the child that Mary had given birth unto. We read concerning those people of Bethlehem, and all they that heard it wondered at those things that were told them by the shepherds. They wondered. They said, isn't that interesting? Oh, well, I need to hurry on tonight with my business. That wondering was an unbelieving wondering, a momentary thought of their mortality, perhaps, of God, of sin, the emptiness of their soul, but then quickly, back, shaken off, back to this life. It was the momentary recognition of what the gospel is saying, as the Apostle Paul, preaching in Antioch in the first missionary journey, of him also we read this word that the audience wondered, after setting forth the gospel and seeing the rejection in the eyes of so many in his audience. The apostle quotes from the Old Testament, and he says, "Behold, ye despisers, and wonder, and perish. For I work a work in your days, a work which ye shall in no wise believe, though a man declare it unto you." Many in Bethlehem that night, when they heard the word concerning the child, wondered, a bit shocking, arresting, Messiah, Savior, Lord, eternal God, born, God come to save, sin, judgment, accountability to God. Oh, bother, another day will come, what do shepherds know, back to our business, and then a warm supper tonight. Is that the way you wonder about the Christ child? It can't be really about any sin in me that needs atonement. Do you think about the fact that you stand accountable before the eternal God? Or do you simply say, oh, now it's the holiday season, let's have some warm, fuzzy feelings? But Mary, in contrast to superficiality, pondered. She turned it over in her soul. She mused over it. She heard the voice of her conscience, activated by the spirit of her sin, of her mortality, of God, of God's grace, of his promise, of my baby. She knew who this baby was. She knew that he was eternal Son of God in her flesh. She knew God was the father of this child. Others might have wondered about that. Many, even Joseph for a time, believed what human reason dictated, that Mary's son had been conceived in adultery and was illegitimate. The looks of everyone said, we believe that child is as any other child, but Mary knew. The 17 or 18-year-old new mother, she knew. No man was his father. She knew that the word spoken by Gabriel, the angel, had come to pass. Luke 1, verse 31, and behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. He shall reign for ever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. And when she had asked Gabriel, how can this possibly be? I know not a man. I'm not married. The angel had responded, the Holy Spirit shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore that holy thing that shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. She pondered. Ponder with her. He who is nursed by Hebrew maid is Lord of all. Does she open his hand and pry his little fingers? Yet in his hands are earth and sea and all deep places, his the strength of all the hills. Now is come Emmanuel, God with us, not ceasing to be what he is, God. He has become what he was not, man, so that we might become what we are not, pardoned and righteous in God's sight. Ponder. So heavy, so hot, so dreadful, the load of sin and grief is ours that only eternal God, come in the flesh, can lift and bear and take it all away. Could such thoughts have been hers, you say? Well, they can be, and they must be, ours. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart, says our text. What words? Well, the words of the shepherds. The shepherds told Mary and Joseph what the angel had told them. Mary was musing on the words that she had received second-hand from the shepherds. Shepherd boys in poverty-shred clothes had come excitedly to the manger. Maybe they were all talking at once and talking in between each other, and they had told Joseph and Mary, "An angel of the Lord appeared to us, and then all the hosts of heaven erupted around us in glorious anthems of praise. The angel before that had said that there was good tidings and great joy unto all God's people, for unto us is born this day a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign, he said unto us, that we would find your baby wrapped in these swaddling clothes and laid in a manger." The shepherds had used the words for her son, Savior, rescuer from sin and death. They had used the word Christ, or Messiah, long-awaited servant of God, entrusted with all the work of God. They had used the word Lord, royal one, power and majesty. She pondered, the child is the fulfillment of the promise that came from the heart of God, the promise to which Adam and Eve clung, the promise which Abraham held fast in his heart, the promise for which Moses endured all things, and the promise of which David the sweet psalmist sang, "Now Emmanuel arises, light of light, God of God, Redeemer, is come into the world." Mary began that night the pondering which the church has engaged in ever since and will engage in to eternity. The Creator, the living God, to whom nothing can be added, has humbled himself and come in the form of a servant to redeem those who have sinned against him. She pondered what he came to do. It all makes no sense unless you see why he has come and what he has come to do. Mary pondered. That word ponder doesn't mean perplex, in a quandary, befuddled. But the word means to sense the depth of something, but unable to see to the bottom of it. All these things, these words, these events moved across her soul and her mind. She sensed that something vast, something marvelous, something as vast as the heart of God was taking place through her. There was something about God's Son born in flesh that stirred the host of heaven. Angels saw into the reason. Angels that night saw not just the fact that their darling, God's Son, had covered his glory and was wrapped in rags resting on straw, but they saw the reason for all of this, and it awed them. This moved them to come down to Bethlehem to sing their hosannas, glory to God in the highest. And now Mary ponders the same thing. It was the reason. It was the marvel of the love of God for unworthy sinners, as you and me and Mary. She knew the reason for the birth was not an earthly kingdom, though she struggled with that, as any other mother would. As a mother, she wanted earth's best for her son, honor and power, ease and happiness. But none of that was to be, and she sensed it. Oh, yes, she sensed that. She gave birth while lying on straw and smelling manure. She gave birth to this boy after a rich man had said, "No room for him." She sensed the rejection this world held for her son, This was somehow she understood the place for the father's child to be born, for it spoke of what he had come to do. He had not come to lead armies. He had not come to marry well and have children. He had not come to organize a peaceable understanding of nations and eradicate poverty and make the world a better place for his passing through the world. No. He had come to be rejected, to be despised as no other man, to be hated without a cause, to be cast out. He had come for a cross. He had come to suffer hell for her and earn for her a garment of a queen and of everlasting life. You see, we ponder the birth of Jesus Christ, but we ponder that which we cannot comprehend. What we know, we ponder what we know, it's a fact, but we can't fathom it. We consider today something which is deeper than the universe and heavier than the oceans, the great, great, great love of God. Why? Why was he born? Why did God's eternal Son come into our flesh, born in such poverty in a manger, and then make his way to a cross to suffer and die? Children, why did he do that? You say, well, he came to save us from our sins. Yes. You say he came to save, surely, all the elect given to him of the Father. Yes. But you see, although both of those statements are true, absolutely true, nevertheless, it still puts it outside of you. It sits it outside of the personal. Why did he do this? Because he loved me. That's the answer of a child of God. Galatians 2 verse 20, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life that I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Only by his coming, only by his death, can my sins be forgiven. There is no other way. Only by his appearing now on earth in Mary's arms as her son in the flesh, only in that way can the burden of my guilt be lifted from me and eternity be earned for me. Ponder. Ponder this at that moment. The uncountable and immeasurable load of your sin was placed on this child so that you would never have to bear it, and this child must carry that load of sin to the cross and suffer for it all. Why would he do that? Could he gain something by doing this? Did he become something he did not have before? Did he earn something that he did not have? What one thing came to him which was not his? He is God's Son. He did this because he loved me. He loved freely and graciously all the elect of the Father. Why? I don't know. Except he willed to do so out of his own eternal heart for the glory of his name. Figure that out if you can. Ponder it and be lost in the depth of the love of God. Ponder this. Never did God appear so beautiful as when Mary held him as a babe and pondered the mystery of God. Out of him, out of her babe, shone the mercy, grace, and love of God. Angels worshipped, heaven sang. Mary pondered in her heart, and we now ponder and bow in worship. Mary, on the night that our Savior Jesus Christ was born in Bethlehem, pondered all of these things as she was in a stable, a lowly, lowly place. It was a dark night. Joseph was there, and he had probably tried to make the place as comfortable as he could. The stars the Creator had made shone forth in their brilliancy. Perhaps the animals, some of the animals that he had made, were nearby. And God in flesh had been born through childbirth, out of her womb. He had been born to set his people free. The promise had been fulfilled, and the promise she held in her arms. And Joseph and Mary, pondering these things, lost in thought, that night, no doubt, bowed down and worshipped and said, "My God, how great thou art," and sang, "His grace abideth ever." You do not need to go to Bethlehem or find that manger to join in this pondering, in this wonderful treasuring of the love and grace of God. You have before you the very things that were available to her and to Joseph. In fact, you and I have more. We have the entire Word of God, the Word of the living God, to treasure. And that Word, in the birth of Jesus Christ, is the Word that declares to us that He took to Himself our flesh and blood and came among us, Lord of all, that He did not despise the shame of our sin, but took it upon Himself. That birth of Jesus Christ declares that He came to be crucified, to take our sins to the only place where they could be destroyed, upon the cross. That birth declares the truth, that He is the one who has ascended to the Father, risen from the dead, and now dwells within us by His Holy Spirit to assure us of our pardon and to strengthen our faith and to preserve us unto eternal glory. We have so much to ponder, so much. And in our pondering, we ask, why, Lord? Why was this done for me? And we hear the answer which cannot be fathomed, an answer so rich, so clear, and so free. The Son of God loved me and gave Himself for me. Our Father, who art in heaven, as we bow before Thee, we pray that our minds may be filled with awe and majesty and with love for Thee. How wonderful Thou art! How great Thy grace! In Jesus' name, amen.